what you know you can't explain. But you feel it. You felt it your entire life. That there's something wrong. You don't know what it is, but it's there. Like a splinter in your mind driving you mad. Experience the awakening. Brilliant anonymous researchers. Patriots, join us in the Patriot Army. Trust the plan, pain coming. Boom, boom, boom. Let's go. RedStateTalkRadio.com, Brighteon.tv, Rumble.com/MG Show. The end won't be for everyone. That choice to know will be yours. Where we go one, we go all. Fight, 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 and fight we will. We fight every day right here on the MG Show.
Wow, here we are again. It is Flannel Friday right here on the MG Show. Thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate you guys coming here every day and the support you guys give us through prayers and through the Rumble rants and through the donate. mg.show/donate. Thank you so much. We would not be here without you because we are not sponsored by Lucifizer, if you will. And before we go any further, let me get my partner in justice, Shady Groove. Shady, welcome to another week of Booms.
We really have had a great week. I want to thank everybody again for joining us here. March 10th already, 2.5 months of winning in the year of 2023, year of pain. Each of you out there, very, very important to this show. We thank you for getting the message out, getting the word out, talking to your friends and family. It's not easy to do, but we recognize that to save our country, that's what we must do. So again, thank everybody out there for the support, the love, and the encouragement of the team here at MG Show.
You know, and we're talking a little bit about freedom of speech today, Shady Groove. We have our First Amendment, and we've got a lot of people that are actually trying to do good things for your and my First Amendment. But boy, I tell you, even on the Congress, on the floor of the Congress, they're calling for your First Amendment to be banned, you know, because it doesn't go along with, you know, whatever narrative people want to support. But we're going to talk a little bit with Tony Lines today from Skyhorse Publishing. I'm really looking forward to that. But as you know, Shady, we're not sponsored by anybody but our listeners, our beautiful listeners. And we're also sponsored today. And this is the last day, I believe, Shady, of Field of Greens. Fieldofgreens.com. Please use that code MGSHOW to let them know that, you know, you got your Field of Greens. It's very important. Hopefully they'll want to sponsor us again because of the great Patriots actually trying this product. I highly recommend it. You know, we want to drop all these leftover pounds from, you know, our birthdays and Christmases and Valentine's days and pandemics, you know, and you see all these ads for weight loss pills, and even the deep state wants to do surgery on your children under 12 for weight loss. I mean, there's really one simple way to do it, and that is with fieldofgreens.com. That's you know, a part of your plan to be healthy and successful in losing that weight. What fieldofgreens.com does for me is it gets me to the gym, gives me that energy, but it also gives me those fruits and vegetables every day that you need. And if you do that, you know, it helps your metabolism. When you go to the gym, it helps you get to the gym, gives me a little bit of energy. And I don't have time to cook all the, you know, vegetables or eat all the vegetables that I'm supposed to have because it's a lot. Five to six cups a day of fruits and vegetables. That's a lot. And you can get them all with a scoop of fieldofgreens.com right here. Use code MGSHOW. This is fieldofgreens.com. Proper nutrition will help you boost your metabolism. It'll help you feel better and you'll lose weight faster. And it's backed by a better health promise. You'll look and feel healthier fast. And if But the greater proof comes, you know, when you go to your doctor in the next checkup and he says, wow, whatever you've been doing, keep doing it. And you keep it up. Okay. So if you do that, we'll get you started, you know, right now with 15% off. And if you subscribe, we'll give you an additional 10% off as well. So fieldofgreens.com, use code MGSHOW. Shady, what do you think? Do you love your Field of Greens?
I love my Field of Greens, and I think that everybody out there should at least give it a try, because it has definitely changed my perspective. I'm a carnivore, and instead of having to eat the fruits and vegetables, I can take the scoop and move right on my way in every day.
That's right. And I want to give special prayers to a couple of people right now. Queued up, we're praying for you. Hope you're feeling better as well. He's got a surgery scheduled for next week, so big prayers up for Queued Up. Also want to give prayers out to our friend, James, you see nothing. We love you very much, brother. And I know you're going through a hard time, but everybody here is with you. And, you know, God bless you and your friend's family for their loss. God bless you, my friend. We love you. And without any further ado, I think we got a couple of birthdays coming up. We've got Joe Bag of Donuts. Happy birthday, Joe Bag of Donuts. And I think we got another one coming up as well. Sippy Cup, I think, maybe. Happy birthday or early birthday. I don't know. But we just want to give you guys a shout out. And let's roll that beautiful boom footage, and we'll bring Tony Lyons from Skyhorse Publishing, who believes in that First Amendment.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan, he's back. The MyPillow guy.
And you're looking good.
Still feeling good.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever, MyPillow 2.0. When I invented MyPillow, it had everything you'd ever want in a pillow. Well, now there's new technology that makes it even better. MyPillow 2.0 has my patented fill combined with a cooling fabric with temperature regulating thread. MyPillow 2.0 is truly the next generation of MyPillow.
The best sleep just got even better. Whether you have a MyPillow or not, you need to get the brand new MyPillow 2.0. Call or go to MyPillow.com now. Use your promo code, and for a limited time when you buy one, you'll get a second one absolutely free.
You're sleeping even better.
And cooler, too.
And you're looking good.
Feeling good.
I knew you would.
Visit MyPillow.com.
And welcome back to the MG Show, where we're having a good time with our guest, Tony Lyons, in the green room. MyPillow, we were just talking to him about that. You know, if it weren't for MyPillow, MyPillow.com, use that code MG Show, 800-873-0478, 800-873-0478. But truly, guys, if it wasn't for you and MyPillow, you know, we wouldn't be here today. Shady Groove, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thank you guys everybody very much. Just support, not only support Mike Lindell, but he also has my store on MyPillow.com. That's great Patriots products, entrepreneurs, that the code works there as well, everyone.
What's that code again?
The code is MG Show.
All right. Skyhorse Publishing. So this is Tony Lyons. There's been There's been a lot of, you know, censorship out there. Skyhorse Publishing opened their doors in 2006, committed to bring the world a broad mix of books. They've got over 56 New York Times bestsellers. Congratulations to you on that. But, you know, they've got a lot. And, you know, we want to just we've been having a lot of guests that are published on Skyhorse Publishing. We figured let's get Tony on real quick and see what we can talk to him, you know, about the First Amendment and, you know, his thoughts. And hopefully we've sent some people to your site, too. Tony, welcome to the show. Tony Lyons of Skyhorse Publishing.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me on. I wanted to start off with one comment, which is that you said we had 56 New York Times bestsellers. And I just want your viewers to know that the New York Times bestseller list is an absolutely corrupt bestseller list. So we'd have had a lot more books on their list if they just based it on sales, but they don't. So it's a curated list. It's a list that's sort of a recommended reading list based loosely on books that are doing well. But they routinely have books that they really like, that they advertise for, that they promote, that they have stories on at the top of their list. So when we published Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s The Real Anthony Fauci, it sold more copies than any other book in the world for that week. And wow, it was number seven. So they listed it as number seven. Then it had 4 or 5 weeks where it was you know, should have been number one or two, and they kept making it number five, number six. So they were just making a decision there that they disagreed with the book. They hated the claims that were made in it. They weren't willing to review it. They wouldn't take any advertising for it. So they were doing everything they could do to make sure the American public didn't hear that story. But they didn't feel, you know, with the actual sales numbers so clear that they could just take it off the list entirely. But on, you know, lots of other books, like Alex Jones's book, you know, sold something like 90,000 copies in a week, and it didn't show up anywhere on the New York Times bestseller list, even though the number 15 title that week sold something like 3,500 copies. So it's absolutely corrupt and part of the censorship. It's a part of how censorship works in this country.
Yeah, and, you know, we believe that censorship is a form of mind control, because if, you know, that book did so well, why wouldn't they want to tell everybody else? Because they may not like the person's message. I mean, that's just what we're faced with every day.
Yeah, and we're supposed to be living in a democracy. And, you know, in the United States, we have a right to expect that if you disagree, that if the media disagrees and the government disagrees, that they have to make a better argument, that they can't just stifle a book, take it off websites, you know, set up hit pieces for the authors, you know, make it so that no newspaper in the world reviews it. You know, I mean, that's not democracy. So democracy is, if you really believe that you have a better argument and you believe in that, and it's not just corruption, it's not just greed, it's not just trying to make more money by hurting people, then you allow debate and you relish that debate and you look for it because you believe that you have a better argument. So, you know, the censorship tools that we've seen kind of developed in the last 2.5 years would be the envy of any dictator in history. I mean, these are crazy censorship tools that make it almost impossible for people to get real news, for people to get the true stories. So people really have to work and read between the lines and go to all kinds of alternative shows, because they can't just turn on their television and get honest news.
And, you know, it's likened to the, you know, book burnings back in the day in some other country that was in World War II. It's almost like the same thing is happening here, sadly. But I think a lot of people are waking up, and, you know, thank goodness for publishers like yourself, shows like this one and many others, obviously. We're trying to get through the news and try to read through and pass the censorship. I mean, obviously, we've been just as censored. What kind of ramifications do you think this has had on your business?
Yeah, so I think that there are a lot of places that write negative comments on the company or on me. There was a story in Vanity Fair that was basically just fiction. You know, they basically looked at our list and they picked off all the titles that they thought they could make a really negative story on. We've published more than 10,000 books. And part of our motto at the company is to sort of publish books on both sides, to encourage debate and dialogue and really allow readers to get as much information as possible so that they can make their own decisions. So, you know, what the news has sort of done, or what the mainstream media has done, is it's focused on anything that they disagree with and then tried to vilify us for that. But, you know, I don't really care, and I'm not afraid of, you know, any kind of harm that can come to me or the business. I'm afraid of living in a country where we can't say what we believe, where writers can't write what they want to write, and, you know, where newspapers and magazines and TV shows collude with the government to fool the American public, to trick them into believing things are true that just obviously aren't true.
Right. And we're seeing that today right now with Tony Fauci. You know, back in the day, he said that HCQ and ivermectin didn't work. And we're finding that it actually does. They want you to take the jab. We're finding that the jab didn't, you know, was a lab leak. I think we're missing a lot of juicy details as well, because I think the U.S. is involved as well. That's my opinion. But we're seeing that, you know, because we weren't educated and that information was actually, you know, censored. We're I mean, and you have, you know, Robert Kennedy, right? You have Judy Mikovits and people that could have saved a lot of lives had they not have been so censored. I mean, this is how dire the censorship needs to be stopped. I mean, it needs to be stopped because people, you know, are dying, quite possibly.
Yeah, and I mean, these are, you know, this censorship isn't really, you know, it's so obviously not geared towards protecting people. So, you know, these authors who we've published want, you know, are basically publishing books that are warnings, that are giving you data that would make it possible for you to make better decisions about your health. And the collusion between big pharmaceutical companies and the government is a kind of setup where the only goal is to make more money despite the negative impact on public health. So they're not trying to protect us from anything. They're just trying to extract money from us at the expense of our health. So there are there are clearly, you know, hundreds of thousands of people who, you know, well, probably hundreds of millions of people who did not need to take this vaccine, this COVID vaccine. And many of our books describe this in all different ways, and yet were harmed by it. So there was no benefit to them, and they took this incredible risk. But, you know, they didn't know the risk that they were taking, and they didn't know it because of censorship, because they couldn't hear these thousands of doctors and scientists and lawyers who had investigated this and who were calling out and warning the American public that this was a mistake, that they were doing something that would not help them. They were taking, you know, a medical intervention that was not studied, that was not going to be helpful, that wasn't going to protect them from transmission, that wasn't going to protect them from actually getting it themselves. You know, and then even the lab leak story. So all of these different stories, we were told that they were misinformation, that they were dangerous, and that we needed to be protected from people like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. or Dr. Robert Malone or Dr. Peter McCullough or Dr. Judy Mikovits. But there, you know, there's so many of these serious, well-respected doctors and scientists who did incredible research. You know, I mean, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s book had 2,191 citations, and, you know, it had blurbs from a Nobel Prize winning scientist, from an incredible number of high, you know, of really highly respected doctors. And, you know, so what happened here is that the American public was just blatantly lied to in an effort to make more money. And that's the really scary thing. And people think that it's ending now, but I don't think this is ending. So I think that this is about power and control of what people do, what they read, what they think, what they put into their body. And, you know, this is a time where people are starting to wake up, but we have to be just as vigilant as we were when we were trying to convince people of what was really going on.
I think that's well said.
Yeah, one of the biggest, you know, threats to their quote unquote democracy is a free thinking public. And, you know, how do we develop the free thinking publics is with real news, with real books, with real information to make our own mind up. Said perfectly, sir. And this is a great awakening right now, in my opinion. There's a lot of people out there trying to get this information, and there's not, you know, very many avenues that they can get that information from. So thank you for Skyhorse Publishing. It's you know, we've been, you know, working with a lot of your authors as well here on this show. And, you know, I got to tell you, you know, thank you for, you know, standing up for your First Amendment and our First Amendment.
Yeah, I mean, many of these books, I think, are just really earth-shattering books. So, you know, if you look at Ed Dowd's book, and he was on the show too, you know, he has really explained clearly. I mean, he's a numbers guy. He's a really professional numbers guy. And he looked at the all-cause mortality in 2020, which had, you know, gone up to some extent, but not as much as the public would have believed. And then with the introduction of the vaccine, he argues in his book and shows an incredible volume of data to back this up, that the all-cause mortality kept going up. after the vaccine was introduced. So there's no way that that should have happened, because, you know, this virus is trying to, I mean, it's traveling through the population and it's trying to infect as many people as it can. And, you know, potentially killing people who are sort of the low hanging fruit, the people with serious comorbidities. So you would think that if there had been no vaccine at all, the rate of hospitalization and death would have gone drastically down in 2021 after the virus had kind of run its course through this whole country. And it's hard to imagine that there was anybody in this country who wasn't exposed to COVID during 2020. But then what you see from Ed Dowd's book is that the incidence of hospitalization and death just goes up and up and up. And it goes to healthy young people who were, you know, statistically at no risk whatsoever. I mean, if they were healthy and they had no comorbidities, their likelihood of being hospitalized or dying was practically zero. But now you've got thousands and thousands of young people who are getting heart attacks, who are, you know, dying, even though they had no comorbidities. They had nothing wrong with them prior to getting vaccinated. So that's an incredible story. And that gets shut down. So, you know, that's a story that he has gone on something like 100 different shows. So anybody in the media has to know that he wrote this book, that it has this really good statistical proof in it. And yet no major newspaper has touched it. They have avoided it like the plague. No politician has mentioned it. I mean, these are serious allegations of corruption at the highest levels of government, and nobody is saying a word. And then you've got, you know, somebody like Dr. Joe Latipo, the Surgeon General of Florida, who wrote a book for us called Transcend Fear. And he comes out with a study saying that 18 to 39-year-old men who were vaccinated are 85% more likely to get a heart attack that they can die from if they're vaccinated than if they're unvaccinated. And, you know, the only response from the media there is that you see them running hit pieces on him, that somehow there's something wrong with the messenger. But nobody addresses the allegations. And of course, that was true also with Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s book. Nobody addresses the allegations that Fauci is absolutely corrupt, that he's been in this business just to make money for himself and for his pharmaceutical company partners. So that's a really scary time when you can have these, you know, the Surgeon General of a state, a high level statistician, and, you know, somebody like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who worked, you know, 16 hours a day for about 9 months on this book. I mean, it was his mission. He was really out there trying to save people's lives, trying to get to the bottom of this story and trying to tell the story of the corruption that was going on in the government. None of these are covered. They're all censored. They're all vilified.
Yeah, and they attack the person with personal attacks that are made up, as you kind of mentioned before. That's what happens to us, you know, wrap-up smears, if you will. The media reports on, you know, negative fake information about maybe you or me or whoever. And, you know, they run with that instead of the information. They never attack the information. That's a great point, sir.
Yeah, and that's a scary point, because that's what we've, you know, we as a country have been claiming for decades, that that happens in Russia and in China, but that it doesn't happen here. And we've seen just with book after book. So you take Dr. Robert Malone and his book, Lies My Government Told Me. I mean, that's a great example too. He is one of the people who created the mRNA technology. So he's a very high level scientist who knows, you know, who has specific information that could be helpful. And yet he was warning, you know, all of the things that I mentioned before, that even if you're vaccinated, you will still get COVID, you will still be able to transmit it, that there will be side effects that are really bad, that will happen to millions of people, and that we don't really even know, that the scariest part of it is that it's untested, so we don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, so you're giving something to virtually the whole American public that hasn't been properly tested. You know, that's such an incredible threat to the future of mankind, and that it was being done only to make more money. That was what was pushing them to tell this story, to make more money and to get more power and control over people. And, you know, so these books, the idea that that all of these people are not allowed to talk to the American public, that their Twitter pages were taken down, their Facebook pages were taken down, their Instagram pages were taken down. And, you know, even places like Amazon, who left the books up, you know, seem to be leaving them up only as kind of like part of a strategy to deceive the public into thinking that there was no censorship going on. But if you look these books up on Amazon, you will find that they do a whole bunch of little things. I mean, you have to look closely, but one of the things that they do is they have disclaimers on these books. So they put them in a special category where the algorithms don't work. So you go to the page, but the book is never recommended to you. No similar book is recommended to you. If you look at a similar book, these books are never recommended to you. Then they take the likes down. So Dr. Mercola wrote the first review on Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s book, The Real Anthony Fauci. And after about 3 months, it had 7,500 likes on it, which means that it was right on the top and it was the one that everybody read. So at that point, Amazon took all the likes off Dr. Mercola's review, so that the top review was one of the rare negative ones, you know, which, so now there are 22,000 reviews and, you know, more than 85% of them are 5-star reviews. But many of the negative ones, the very small number of no stars or 1 star or 2 stars, those are the ones that have 3,000 likes on them, because they won't allow the American people to see the truth, and they won't encourage it in any way. So they're using these technological tools that the public doesn't recognize exists, and they're using them to minimize the likelihood that people will find these books and read these books.
Yeah, amen to that. And, you know, Skyhorse Publishing, you've seen a couple of examples. This is skyhorsepublishing.com. Let's say you want to get Ed Dowd's Cause Unknown. Just go right there and buy it right from here. I guess you can buy it from these places, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, IndieBound, and Bookshop. So, but if you want to find out what Skyhorse Publishing does, look at these great titles in here. And these are just a few. You view them all, you'll be here all day. You've got an amazing selection. Over 9,500 titles. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
go ahead.
Yeah. You know, I've been fascinated in the last, you know, couple of months of the way that censorship is evolving now. So they're taking children's books and they're changing them. So they're taking, you know, Raoul Dahl's books, and they're taking out any references that the sort of woke mob doesn't like for whatever reason. Or they're looking at the private lives or the personal statements of authors and then taking all of their books down, and publishers are disavowing them. So there's censorship is just coming from all sides, and it's not stopping. And even though the pandemic craziness to some extent has slowed down, the censorship is still alive and well. And what we've seen is that, you know, during Biden's time, there has clearly been the most incredible assault on freedom of speech in the history of this country. So that, you know, authors are afraid. They're routinely afraid of saying all kinds of things in books. So a novelist can't have a fat character in a book, or they run the risk of publishers canceling it. So, you know, if you think about that, and then even in fiction, if you have characters that are of a different racial group than yourself, or a different background than your own, those books can be taken down, they can be canceled by the publishers just for that reason, even though it's fiction. And then it's becoming more and more routine for publishers to ask authors to change around their stories to make it more palatable, which I think is really... Yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, it's just really interesting the moment that we're in right now. I mean, I think that, leading into a little bit of what you were just saying there, we just saw yesterday on the House of Representatives hearing all of the Democrats up there, like none of them at all were interested in what Mr. Taibbi or Mr. Schellenberger were saying. They were just interested in where their sources came from, or when did you do that, or how did you do this? I mean, it's unbelievable, regarding Robert Kennedy's book. And a tweet that he had made about that was one of the ones that was censored, and the Democrat was saying, "Oh, well, you can't point to any place where the government said directly to take it down." And then Mr. Jordan pulled up the commentary that came out or came to Twitter from the FBI or Homeland Security or whoever, and said basically, "This is flagged that we want this removed." It said it verbatim, and then they were all like, "Oh, well, you don't know what the context of the tweet was." And they go back and it's Robert Kennedy's tweet about the dangers of the vaccine and stuff. So, you know, what you're saying there is very on point, because the American people don't understand settled science. I mean, you know, there's no such thing as settled science. I mean, we're supposed to be hypothesizing and coming to many different conclusions. So that's part of the censorship and the violence that has been perpetrated on the American people as well.
Sure. I mean, what people have to recognize is that this censorship, this whole period, hasn't been about protecting science. It's been a war on real science. You know, that real science requires disagreement, that you would want to have as many people up there as possible. You would thank Robert F. Kennedy Jr. for doing all the incredible work that he did to bring this information to the public. And then you would want to go through it with him. And he was willing to debate anybody. He was willing to debate Fauci on national television. And, you know, we tried all kinds of places to try to get them to allow a debate. But Dr. Fauci's not going to debate anybody because he's a corrupt public official. He doesn't have an argument that he can make. He can't go through this book and say on page 22, the argument that you make about ivermectin is flawed because of these or those studies. You know, it was all about propaganda and lies and censorship. So, you know, they were telling the American people that ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine were really dangerous drugs that, you know, that should be avoided at all costs and that they could die of, you know, that ivermectin was horse medicine. That you know, that it was just be crazy for you to take it. But the truth is that hundreds of millions of people all around the world have taken it, and it's got an incredible safety record, and there was no danger whatsoever. And it's so clear now what they were doing. I mean, it was clear to many of our authors at the time, but it's clear now pretty much to the whole world, I think, what was going on. So the details are still murky and you know, hard to get to in certain cases, you know, how the censorship worked, you know, how the corruption worked. But clearly they were trying to make it so that they could get an exemption for an untested vaccine. And to do that, they had to prove that there was nothing else that could possibly work. So they went to war on all of these different possible preventives, you know, that could have helped people and could have prevented them from getting COVID and potentially saved hundreds of thousands of lives in this country. But that was not the goal. The goal was just to get the vaccine into people's arms at any cost. You know, I mean, at any cost to the health of the American public.
Yeah, you know,
that's
no,
what's
no.
what's really scary.
Yeah,
is that we really had people. Yeah, I mean, that we had Dr. Fauci going on television day after day and advising the president to go on television and advising, you know, or threatening news shows and, you know, trying to get the FBI and all kinds of other government groups to help them force people, coerce people, deceive people into getting this intervention that had not been tested when there were really good alternatives that were available and, you know, likely to actually help them.
You know, I like to show this clip too, because, you know, they did test it and they tested it on us, and even Obama admitted it. Check this out.
And yet, despite the fact that we've now essentially clinically tested the vaccine on billions of people worldwide, around one in five Americans is still willing to put themselves at risk and put their families at risk rather than get vaccinated.
I mean, he basically admitted that they clinically tested on millions of people and laughed about it. I mean, this is the kind of hubris that, and we can show this to our friends and family, and they won't even see it. It's like people don't, if we show them their own words, it's almost like hard for people to get it through their heads that that's what really happened. He told you the truth there, believe it or not.
Yeah, but then the president got on television and he told the American people, you know, hundreds of millions of people, he told them directly that if they got vaccinated, they could not get COVID and they could not transmit COVID. And at that point, there was just a laundry list of powerful people, from Bill Gates to Rachel Maddow to, you know, all of these people going on and saying, if you get the vaccine, COVID will be over for you. You can go about your lives. So then the idea that hospitalization and death was going to go down, that was sort of like a Hail Mary, you know, that they, from what I've heard and from what I've read, there's no way that they could have actually had that data at the time when they started saying that. But it was the only thing left to say, because all of these people who had told you that you couldn't get COVID on national television, they all came out and said that they got COVID, and not once or twice, but they got COVID multiple times. And then they kept getting booster shots and taking all kinds of other drugs, and they kept getting COVID. So, but then you look at Ed Dowd's book and you see that the incidence of hospitalization and deaths actually went up after that. So even that promise was an absolute lie. And then the people who are suffering most from it, like I said before, are young people who were at virtually no risk whatsoever. So you have athletes dying all around the world. I mean, just day after day, you see athletes dying on the field, and it's really well covered in the book. And, you know, how is it that we can have a media in this country that just won't even cover that, that won't try to explain it, that won't say anything? And, you know, what they seem to do is have this strategy that they just wait and wait and wait. They lie. And then at some point, like you see happening now with the lab leak theory, that it just sort of comes out in a story here, a story there, then a couple of really big mainstream places say it. And now there seems to be almost no disagreement that that COVID came from the Wuhan lab. And it's sort of seeping into the consciousness of the entire country and the entire world. But, you know, that's after, you know, Dr. Fauci going on television, talking to senators and, you know, saying there is no way that this came from a lab. It has a different genetic makeup. It could not have come from a lab. This is a naturally occurring virus. So, but yeah. where is the anger about that from the American media? You know, where is the sort of contrition? You know, why isn't the New York Times running a headline saying we were wrong about COVID, we were wrong, you know, we were wrong about the vaccine working, we were wrong about whether or not you could get COVID, transmit COVID, we were wrong about the lab leak, we were wrong about the Hunter Biden laptop, we were, you know, as far as I can tell, wrong about the Russian pipeline and how that was destroyed. So there's just, you know, big news story after big news story that they somehow got wrong. And it doesn't look accidental. It looks like, yeah, you know, this is an organized system of lying to the American public when it's convenient, when it makes more money for a big pharmaceutical company when it helps the military narrative that they're trying to make at the point. So, you know, it's time for more outrage now than ever when the fear is subsiding, because when the fear was just paramount, you know, when you could not escape the fear in this country, it was easier to fool people. But you would hope that now, when people have some breathing room, that they're going to come back and they're going to say, hey, I'm pretty upset that everybody lied and that I made decisions based on lies that impacted my own health and my family's health.
Amen. I just had a couple sneezes. Sorry about that. And then we had Fauci, believe it or not, Fauci on, believe it or not, Fox, changed the word gain of function. They're trying to change the way that they describe it. And gain of function is how the lab leak actually happened in Wuhan. Check this out.
For the health of the country, some of that involves manipulating organisms. You want to call it gain of function. It really is not in many respects, but when it is, it needs to be very well regulated. If you shut off all gain of function research, did you get the flu shot this year, Neil? If you did, and you got it from an influenza vaccine, that was gain of function that made that influenza vaccine.
Ending that outright.
So that's what
there
people don't understand.
That, I'm sorry, doctor. There were many on that committee who were saying just end it. It's not worth the hassle, not worth even the remote possibility of something like we had. What do you say?
I'm sorry, Neil. You got cut off when he was talking. What was the question again? I'm sorry.
Yeah, he got cut off, I'm sure. And the flu shots don't work.
You know, when you look at Dr. Fauci, you know, you have to look at the fact that he's kind of lied his way to the top and he's failed his way to the top. So, you know, look at in this country over the last 30 years. So you look at the autism rate going from 1 in 10,000 to I don't know the exact number, but I believe it's something like 1 in 34 now. So, you know, and then. And the incidence of allergies in young children or in, you know, almost any, you know, serious illness that children get. They're all like a hockey stick over the last 30 years. And that is Fauci's career. So you wonder how somebody who has failed so horribly that they're third world countries that have so much less money, so much less power than we have, that have, you know, better infant mortality rates than we do, that have healthier children than we do, that have a general population that's healthier than we do. So he has failed so abysmally, and yet it doesn't matter. He just got more and more power, and somehow he got more and more trust. So, you know, Dr. Fauci tells this story to people who work for him, and he's told it in it's been covered by some news sources, that he's told people that his favorite book is The Godfather, and that his favorite line in that book is, "It's not personal, it's just business." So you think about that, and he that clearly thought that was funny. It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of dollars and cents. So basically, what he's saying is that he is the health czar of the world, basically, and what he cares about is money. What he cares about is helping his pharmaceutical partners maximize their return on investment. And he does not care what happens to public health. He does not care what happens to children in this country. And if he cared, he would be, you know, he would be getting on television daily over the last decade even and saying, why are our children so sick? You know, what can we do to make children healthier here? We're the richest and most powerful country on earth. Can't we take care of our own children? And yet you've never heard that from Fauci. All that you've heard is that everything's great and we need more drugs, more vaccines, and that that's going to solve things. And even if they worked, even if some of those interventions work, you know, it would still be him doing it for the money. The fact is that they're not working, that we now have, like I said, this 30-year period of decreasing public health. And, you know, with all the technology, all the research, all the money in the world, we need to be able to get a good outcome for our children. And that's what, you know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has been fighting for over the last 30 years. So you look at his record, where, you know, he's from the Kennedy family. He could have been on the board of a bunch of big companies, made plenty of money, lived an easy life. But what did he choose to do? He chose to go up against the most powerful companies on earth, to go up against the most powerful government on earth, and try to protect the public from what those parties were doing to us and to our children. And yet, you know, he got nothing for that. He didn't get any credit for it. He didn't make any money doing it. He has no conflict of interest. So when you look at many of our authors, you will see people who could have towed the line, who could have taken the money, who could have kept their high-paying jobs. But instead, they came out and they told the truth and they suffered for it. And these are the people who should be running public health in this world. These are the people who should be running government in this country. That we need people who don't have conflicts, who are not taking bribes from big companies, who are actually looking out for what's best for the American people.
Amen to that. And, you know, I just want to put, here you go, check it out.
It's not personal, son. It's strictly business.
There you go. That's the quote from The Godfather. There's Fauci right there, guys. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So the idea that he could become increasingly popular and that people could be wearing, you know, Fauci t-shirts. You know, there was a lady who her name is Keziah Ware, and she is the one who wrote a hit piece on me and Skyhorse Publishing for Vanity Fair, and then she followed it up with a hit piece on Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Guess what her dog's name is?
Fauci. Fauci.
Right.
Oh my God. So, well, guys, you know, this is a great, you can't make it up. It's crazy. My dog's name is Fauci. Mine is Flynn, just so you know. I have a Frenchie that rides right here on his MyPillow dog bed. Use code MGSHOW at MyPillow.com. He's chilling out right now. But I want to just really quick, we're going to be leaving Brighteon.tv here in a few minutes. Thank you very much, Brighteon.tv. We love you very much. You know, please, you know, watch the rest of Brighteon.tv. TV's great content and content creators here on this wonderful platform. We're going to be heading to the top of the hour till 1 o'clock, and then we take a 5-minute break, and we got another hour at MG Show over on Rumble, rumble.com/MG Show, or you can use your spy device and say, tune in to Red State Talk Radio, redstatetalkradio.com. You can listen to us on the go or watch later, rumble.com/MG Show, or our podcast is available on every platform except Spotify. Thank you, Media Matters. Back to you guys.
Yeah, I would just like to really quick, I would like to maybe ask the question about like your the business, the way that they've financially attacked us, the way that we see them financially attacking all these other great patriots around the country. How have they come after your business or the publishing company? Have they tried to shut you down or demonetize you or anything like that since you've kind of gotten a little bit more popular publishing things that they don't like so much?
Yeah. So we have, you know, lots of our authors have really suffered, but the company hasn't suffered that much because, you know,
good.
If somebody wrote a hit piece on Skyhorse Publishing and they're the same kind of company that is vilifying all of our authors, that's trying to shut down free speech in America, you know, that doesn't really hurt us as a company or as a brand, because, you know, the kinds of places that then don't carry our books are the same places that weren't carrying our books beforehand, because they're on board with that view of life, which is that, you know, anybody who you disagree with, you should work like, you know, as hard as you can to deplatform them, you know, not make a better argument, not explain to people what's wrong with what they're writing or what they're saying, but just get rid of them. And so I think that hasn't really hurt us. You know, where we've gotten hurt is in things like our books, like I said before, are kept off bestseller lists, or, you know, big TV shows, you know, hear the name Skyhorse and they're not, you know, excited to have our authors on their shows, you know, that sort of thing. But it hasn't been something that's, you know, prevented us from publishing books.
Amen. That's good. Thank God for that. We should be getting an MG show code for Skyhorse Publishing. Guys, get over there, skyhorsepublishing.com. You've been a fantastic guest. I would consider we have one that can see. And thank you very much for joining us here today. Do you want to, you know, we're going to give you the final floor to say whatever you want to say, but please go to skyhorsepublishing.com, support the authors on that platform, and obviously you as well, and your team of, you know, employees as well. You got the floor for your final. What would you tell everybody as you're parting the MG show? Thank you very much for coming.
Yeah, let's see. Well, first of all, I just want to say that we're going to be publishing Mike Adams' book called Survival Nutrition, which I think is an incredible book. It's going to come out later this year. Don't have a picture of it here, but that's a book that viewers should look for. And that's going to be the first of a series of books that we're doing with Mike Adams. As far as what else I would really like to say, it's that, you know, people should recognize that it takes work to get the truth in this country now, and that they're not just going to be able to turn on their television or grab a newspaper, that they're going to have to come to shows like this and invest the time, you know, invest the hour or the 2 hours that it takes, and then look at a lot of different sources and read a lot, read many of the books we've published, to really get an honest perspective of what's happening in this country. And so if you really care about your freedom and your ability to make decisions and have thoughts that are based on real facts, then you really need to do that work, because they're groups, they're forces, they're individuals who are working day and night to prevent you from being able to know what's really going on and to really learn how the world functions and what's happening to you and what's healthy, what isn't healthy, what the real reasons for our foreign policy are, the real way that people get elected, the power that powerful people have over our elected officials, you know, all of those kinds of things. And it takes work, and I encourage people to do it, but you have to do it for yourself. So if you're a college student, you know, you can't just go to college now and expect that you're going to be exposed to all kinds of points of view. You know, there's a, you know, going to college now to some extent is about being indoctrinated, that you're only allowed to hear certain parts of the story. And so I'm going to say it one last time, you're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to fight for your freedom, because it's not just going to be handed to you. And to some extent, that's always been true in this country. But I think it's harder to see that it's true now, but I believe that it's more true than others, you know, than ever. But it is possible that if you fight for it, you can get more information and get closer to the truth than you ever could before, because there is a lot of information. It's just not easy to get.
Amen to that. So pick up a book, read, go to skyhorsepublishing.com. Listen to Tony Lyons from skyhorsepublishing.com. You're an amazing patriot. God bless you, sir. And thank you very much, sir, for coming here on the MG show. Wow.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Shady.
There's another one that can see. I mean, we have great patriots in great positions. Skyhorse Publishing, you know, 9,500 titles, more than that. Skyhorsepublishing.com. Please get over there, support them if you can. And Shady, you know, we're going to be going out for about a 5-minute break. But wow, I feel that was an amazing interview.
It really was. Yeah, what a great time for everybody out there. Lots of the Skyhorse Publishing authors have been here on the MG show, and so we thought it would be amazing to have him in here, and so we're so glad that he had a minute to stop by.
Amen. And maybe we might have a book, and we might know somebody now.
Let's do that.
Thank you very much. And guys, we'll be right back. Hour number two coming up. We've got some J6 stuff. We've got, Jacob Chansley news. Big news. Tucker needs to cover this. God bless you all. We'll see you back right here. Shady, take it away.
Stay tuned for hour number two of the Matrix Groove Show, live on Red State Talk Radio, coming right up after these words in the Matrix, the3xs.com.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
The Brighteon store understands the importance of getting all the nutrients you need to support the healthy functions of your body. Our nutrient-dense superfoods and supplements can help nourish your body and promote your optimal health and well-being. 100% customer satisfaction guarantee on all purchases. You deserve the best. BrighteonStore.com. Support this amazing platform and amazing Patriots for Humanity.
Use promo code MGSHOW at checkout for additional savings.
Government-induced inflation, taxes, rising interest rates, and political instability. They all have a crushing effect on our investments, often causing the stock market to go down. They can also cause gold and silver to go up. There's a time to be in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, and there's a time to get out. This is the time to hold gold and silver. Kirk Elliott, double PhD, has been protecting individual Americans' assets for more than two decades.
Hi, I'm Kirk Elliott. There is no such thing as a bad investment. There's only bad timing for investments. And now is the time to own gold and silver.
Now is the time to own physical metals in an IRA, a 401k, and of course, outside of a retirement plan. Don't let the government destroy your hard-earned assets. Please call 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900 for gold, silver, and undeniable economic protection against out-of-control government.
Support the guys and mention MG Show when you call.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan, he's back. The My Pillow guy.
And you're looking good.
Still feeling good.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever. My Pillow 2.0. When I invented My Pillow, it had everything you'd ever want in a pillow. Well, now there's new technology that makes it even better. My Pillow 2.0 has my patented fill combined with a cooling fabric with temperature regulating thread. My Pillow 2.0 is truly the next generation of My Pillow.
The best sleep just got even better. Whether you have a My Pillow or not, you need to get the brand new My Pillow 2.0. Call or go to mypillow.com now. Use your promo code, and for a limited time when you buy one, you'll get a second one absolutely free.
You're sleeping even better.
And cooler, too.
And you're looking good.
Feeling good.
I knew you would.
Visit MyPillow.com.
fun.
Welcome back. Hour number two, The Matrix Groove Show on RedStateTalkRadio.com. Just say, hey, Alexa, play Red State Talk Radio. Go to InTheMatrix3X.com. We can hear you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Supporting certain prisoners denied their constitutional rights. God bless you and the J6 prisoners, Donald J. Trump. Welcome back to the MG Show, Shady Group.
Welcome back, you great patriots out there. What an awesome show. What an awesome interview there with Mr. Lyons. Great to get to speak with him. I mean, you know, I don't think there's very many people that have moved the needle the way he has in publishing stuff in America. It's not an easy job anymore, it seems like, to be a publisher.
Yeah, no, not in these days with the book burning, Shady Groove.
Yeah,
I want to just go ahead and play this real quick, Shady Groove. I don't know if I let me go to my Truth Social because I've got it there. But Shady, we've got some breaking news that hasn't been shown yet to the public. When I looked at it, these tweets, it's on Twitter. I brought it over to Truth Social, but it's huge and it has not been played yet. And Tucker Carlson, you need this. And by the way, Tucker Carlson had Martha Chansley on. We've had Martha Chansley on the show twice here, and we know her very, very well, very well. In fact, Matrix and Shady, they talked about Watkins, and that was very interesting because we actually sent a message to Watkins and we actually have the conversation recorded. I'm going to see if I can get permission to release that recorded conversation with Watkins through a person that we're trying to help, Jake Chansley. Because if you go on CNN's own website, you see that he thanked them for showing me this room, which was the Senate, Shady. It's evidence that shows that he's innocent. But you want to see some evidence that shows that this guy's innocent, Shady? You want to see it?
Let's see it.
Let's see it. This is huge.
We're going to obey our president. We're going to do as he asks.
Respect our landmarks.
marks. Respect the Capitol.
Let's get out of here, guys.
He said he saw on his Twitter account.
We're gonna pull up the tweet. Donald Trump has asked everybody to go home.
We're staying.
Okay, then stay, motherfucker. I don't give a shit. This is America. You guys want to stay? That's fine. Donald Trump has asked everybody to go home.
Hold on, wait, read this. Hold on. Read this. This is, read it.
Donald Trump, quote, I am asking for everyone in the U.S. Capitol to remain peaceful, no violence. Remember, we are the party of law and order. Respect our law enforcement, yeah. Men and women in blue.
No. Pull up the video. There's a video. Yeah, he has a video. He just tweeted it.
All right.
Put it on here.
Okay, that was just Trump. Have a listen to Trump.
At least make one more point.
No. You're not going to make a point. You're just going to make yourself feel
good. Yes.
Just back it up, guys. Just back it up. We're not Antifa. We are not Antifa. We are not Antifa. Back it up. Back it up.
So you see what's happening there. In fact, some of the masked people in that video, I believe, are feds trying to spark the crowds. But let's play part two. Check it out.
Hello, everyone. This is Jacob Chansley.
Look at those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever.
I know you're hurt. We had an election that was stolen from us. It was a landslide election, and everyone knows it, especially the other side. But you have to go home now. We have to have peace. We have to have law and order. We have to respect our great people in law and order. We don't want anybody hurt. It's a very tough period of time. There's never been a time like this where such a thing happened, where they could take it away from all of us, from me, from you, from our country. This was a fraudulent election, but we can't play into the hands of these people. We have to have peace. So go home. We love you. You're very special. You've seen what happens. You see the way others are treated that are so bad and so evil. I know how you feel, but go home and go home in peace.
That looks pre-recorded.
Show the fuck out.
When did he record that?
Stop. Stop it.
Where
are the people?
Turn around. You do it. Fuck you.
Everyone knows it. I don't
see where he recorded that.
Yeah,
I don't have service.
I don't believe us.
Show the fuck out.
He just punched me.
Calm down. Go home.
I don't see that.
Calm down and go home, sweetie.
If he said that, there would be patriots around him.
You don't need to see this.
Guys,
you're
sure? My lip.
Hey, everybody, pay attention 1 second. We're all patriots here. We're all on the same page here. All right? You got to know there is other options that are coming.
Very interesting, huh, Shady?
Boy, it sure does counter the narrative. I mean, you know, I've never really heard. I've done a lot of studying on the insurrections that have happened in the past, and not one other instance where the insurrection is standing there telling people to go home. Can't remember that.
And you see that lady? Yeah, that's fake. That was pre-recorded. Well, you know, maybe it was, you know. Maybe they prepared for an outcome, and that was one of the outcomes that they thought. Because remember, Donald J. Trump wanted to release 20,000 National Guard and they didn't do it. Okay. He might have had some foreknowledge there, crazy lady. Sorry.
Well, the mainstream media and no one else will tell you is that what was getting ready to happen that day was that we were going to be sending electors back to states. And that was going to happen. We did have a couple of senators who were going to sponsor House representatives who were going to challenge the election for 10 days to send it back to the states to figure out if some of these discrepancies that were being reported in the news were real or not. And that was initiated. That process had begun to happen. And that's why they needed to create an insurrection so that they could basically get everybody up there on Capitol Hill to cower and bow their heads and bend the knee.
Yeah. Yeah. And this video on Telegram has 1,000 views already. Wow. Thanks, Telegram. We've got 127 likes and 83 retruths on these videos. Guys, you know, maybe start helping me retruth some of this stuff. I'd really appreciate it. Here you go, guys. This is it's a thread, so there's a both videos are there. I would ask you guys all to repost those, or, you know, retruth if you could, or rip them and post them yourself. I mean, this has to get out. This is huge, and I've got 127 likes and 83 retruths on that one, on the first one we played, and 94 likes and 71 retruths. That's it.
Get it out, Patriots.
Yeah, and let's get over to. This is another. This is who posted it right here, Pam Hempel, MAGA Granny. This has got 2,158 views. Are you on Twitter, guys? Let's go. Let's get this out there. Copy link to tweet. They are censoring this. You need to get it out. When one patriot drops off Twitter, another one takes his place. Let's go to. This is part two. Let me go. I'm suspended. See that, guys? It's great, isn't it? Let me go to this Pam Hemphill right here. She is also a J6 defendant, breast cancer warrior, substance abuse specialist, sober 43 years. God bless you for putting these out. Let me just keep going down. This is, Becker News got it. Jacob Chansley, finally. Evidently, this clip was shot by Pam Hemphill, and now it's gaining traction due to large part by Tucker Carlson. Well, you know, this has got 182,000 views. So it's getting there, guys. It's getting there. Please get this video out. But this is the person that actually put it out, Pam Hemphill, at Pam Hemphill with two L's, 79, Shady Groove. You know, just interesting. Here's clips of the Proud Boys. Check this out. Please keep them in your prayers.
I was walking towards the Capitol, and I turned around and saw the Proud Boys. Here's a quick little clip of them.
Nice to meet you.
Hey, tell me what you're up to. I want to record you.
We're out here representing America. That's basically it. I don't know what else to say. Proud Boys, back to yellow.
Okay.
So that's a video of the Proud Boys.
Hey, are you up?
Montana.
Fuck Antifa! 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 Fuck Antifa!
Fuck Antifa! Fuck Antifa! Fuck Antifa!
Fuck Antifa! Fuck Antifa! Fuck Antifa! Fuck Antifa! Fuck Antifa! Fuck Antifa! Fuck Antifa!
Well, we need to find a way to get across the street.
Perfect. We'll keep up with it.
Got it.
Adam Bundy.
This is interesting to watch, guys. Noticing a few things, like, you know, there is Joe Biggs on the phone communicating with somebody. They told somebody to you know, don't do that. Yes, they were, you know, shouting F Antifa, but seems pretty normal to me, right?
Yeah, interesting to kind of go back and watch a little bit from that day, considering what's transpired over the last 2 years since Biden Joe took office. I mean, you know, yesterday he was screaming at you MAGA Republicans again. Oh, you're the most extreme group ever to face our democracy. He's right. 1776, the last time that we had to stand up to you tyrants like this.
Yep. And this is another video that Pam Hempel put up. This is 829 views, but it was some fake patriot bullying Jake Chansley. Boy, he gets a lot of that, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
This is a scene where Jacob Chansley gets confronted by this man, and I really believe he's Antifa.
I'm getting tired of this Boys and Girls class.
We are here fighting for democracy. We
should have fought here and fought here.
He has his tweet up there if you want to let him use your microphone.
Are you Antifa? 100%.
I've been on the side of the Bears for years. I was marching with police, man, and I told them to research QAnon.
Hey, thank you.
Let him out of here.
Attack my friend.
This guy's fucking coming out. I'm not attacking a woman.
I turned to Jacob and I said, "Start praying."
Wow.
It seemed like the guy in the bandana was the Antifa, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
And there was a lot of them there.
Yeah, there was, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. This is when she was pushed into the Capitol. Let's check it out.
Here, there's two officers. I want to get close enough to ask him for permission to go in, and I got shoved in.
Come on, keep coming. We need to keep coming. Woo!
Well, I don't want to go this far.
this.
Oh my God. I don't know how I got in. Got pushed in.
That's how they did it. They pushed people in. Looks like a day of rage, doesn't it? Doesn't seem like it doesn't seem too violent there, does it? But she was pushed in, Shady Groove, and that's how they did it. They kettled patriots into the room, and they pushed you in, Shady.
And I think that was a big part of why the Fed confidential human source operators were there to manage that push whenever the doors were open so they could get as many people in there as possible. Very interesting watching that video. I mean, I don't see anybody destroying a painting, pushing over a statue, setting a fire, hurting another person, beating anyone. I don't see any melee going on whatsoever. But boy, this is the most mannerly insurrection I've ever seen.
That's pretty good, right? I mean, geez, I tell ya,
but, you know, when they started,
remember Antifa was shouting "Whose streets? Our streets!" the whole time, and then we're doing we're allegedly. So there's another tell, in my opinion, whose house? Our house. Yes, it is our house. I get it, but very interesting turn of events, guys. You know, Tucker Carlson was brave, but I do believe that he was also stopped.
I do too. I absolutely do. And maybe that's because Kevin McCarthy is pivoting, is now deciding to release the videotapes. I don't know if he's actually going to do it. That's what he is saying that he is going to do. So maybe that whatever Tucker did is, instigated that push a little bit more forward, because the cry is coming from both sides of the aisle now about it.
Shady, what's next on the script from our Monday morning or conference call? Let me just
Hang on, let me see if I can find
it there. It's Tucker, right? Okay, here it is.
Hid exculpatory evidence from him and the defense in order to send Jacob Chansley to prison for 4 years, where he is tonight. Now, we showed you that evidence this week. It's surveillance footage that shows federal officers leading Jacob Chansley around the Capitol like tour guides. At one point, they even opened the door of the hallowed Senate chamber for him and usher him in. So the tape proves conclusively that Jacob Chansley, whose every action inside the building was videotaped, committed no felony. And the government hid that fact. And because they did, the media were allowed to paint Jacob Chansley as a dangerous terrorist who deserved to be killed.
You know, I think the most amazing thing about the whole thing is watching the video. And on the Senate floor, there's a cop who's armed, and a guy bursts in, the QAnon shaman, dressed like a Viking, and he basically talks to him. I'm watching. Shoot him.
And by the way, that is from the Lincoln Project. They are known pedophiles.
Yeah. Shoot him. Like, you burst into the United States, if he was dressed like Bin Laden, would you have shot him?
Imagine if they said that about someone you loved. Well, now we know that the Biden administration created that perception that this man should be killed and then broke the law specifically to destroy the life of American citizen and naval veteran Jacob Chansley, who, again, remains in prison tonight. The question is, what happens next? Martha Chansley is Jacob Chansley's mother. William Shipley is his attorney, and they join us tonight. Martha Chansley, thank you so much. First to you, what's it like? What has it been like for the last 26 months to see people like Steve Schmidt of the Lincoln Project on television, calling for the killing of your son?
What has it been like? It's an awful thing to say. It's horrible. I can't even imagine even saying that for somebody who just walked through open doors.
Yes.
Right?
How does it feel to know that the U.S. government, the Biden administration, hid this evidence, and on the basis of that lie and crime, sent your son to prison for years?
It's upsetting. It should have come out 2 years ago. Should have come out 2 years ago. He's an innocent man. Everything that he said that he did is true, that he walked through open doors. He was escorted through the halls in the Senate. And part of the reason why he was escorted was because he volunteered to help them. He said that he saw people in the Senate and that he wanted to help them in any way he could.
Yeah,
and that's why part of the reason why he was led around.
It's very obvious. Mr. Shipley, thank you for joining us tonight. So this show confirmed
today.
And thank
you.
Well, of course. We confirmed today that the Capitol Police turned over all the video, including the video you just saw of Jacob Chansley, your client, to the FBI right after January 6th. So the FBI had this videotape, and they withheld it from his initial lawyer in his defense. How is he still in prison tonight?
That's a great question. Am I supposed to say, or is
no? I was just asking the attorney here, as a legal matter, how is this?
Okay.
How is your son still behind bars?
Well, Jake did not have a lot of post-conviction options. The plea agreement that Albert Watkins talked him into signing waived all of his appeal rights, so he had no opportunity to go to the Circuit Court of Appeals to raise any issues connected to his conviction. He had limited rights to challenge the performance of Albert Watkins as his lawyer. When I came into the case, that's the first subject I began discussing with him, was my criticisms of what Watkins talked him into doing. It was a terrible plea agreement. It was an unconscionable plea agreement. I've done this for 35 years. I recognized immediately what Watkins had done wrong. Watkins had him plead guilty before the government was even willing to say it had produced all the video. The government in August of 2021 was still telling judges, we haven't been able to get all of the evidence to defense lawyers, so please don't set trial dates. Albert Watkins didn't care. He convinced his client to take the offer the government had made and plead guilty. So he's in a little bit of a mousetrap.
So, but now that we know that this was a travesty, I mean, the people responsible for it should be punished. Liz Cheney should lose her job today as a professor at the University of Virginia. She knew this. She destroyed a man's life. But how do you get Jacob Chansley out of jail now?
Well, we're looking at that. I'm not sure there's an easy solution. There's not an easy road to that, to get the matter back in before Judge Lamberth in the district court here and to have him reconsider his sentence. In many ways, it's procedurally barred. We're going to have to come up with a creative way to get it back before Judge Lamberth. Frankly, I think Judge Lamberth may be a little bit unhappy that the government presented some videos at the sentencing to paint Jacob in the worst possible light, the way they described him in court as, you know, the face of the insurrection, violent. And then, you know, Judge Lamberth, frankly, he gave him the sentence that Albert Watkins negotiated. The sentence in the plea agreement was 41 to 51 months, and Judge Lamberth gave him 41 months. But I don't think Judge Lamberth today probably thinks he saw everything he needed to see when he made that decision.
Yeah, I mean, this is just an open and shut travesty as far as I'm concerned. And Godspeed to both of you getting this unjust.
Yeah, wouldn't want to see that. Shady, you know, Martha Chansley, what an amazing woman. Do you know Shady Groove? You might. It's exactly a year ago that we had Martha Chansley on our show. Look at this. January 6th.
I knew it was close.
Yeah, wow. It's a year ago. So how far are we with the real news?
The final words.
So here we go.
Trying to keep ramming through that narrative as well. But look, we're going to have a special guest.
Let's go. Here we go. Wow, look at
the flashlight will enhance the drama.
Oh, we played Woo's
aspect.
Maybe we had her
here right now. To capitulate
is a very, very,
I don't know. Maybe that's when we did the JT Wild did the song, but we had her on twice. We actually interviewed her in Arizona, I believe, too. Shady.
Yeah, we got to meet her and hang out with her a little bit in Phoenix. And what the attorney was saying right there is true. The agreement that they were coerced Jake Chansley into signing does forego the ability to appeal in the normal processes. And interestingly enough, I mean, it's the attorney Watkins effectively scared Jake into taking that plea deal over the note that he wrote. I think he wrote a note and left a note laying there for Mike Pence or something, and saying that we see you or some sort of commentary or something. And that was used to scare Jake into thinking that he had made some sort of a threat and that he was going to be thrown to the wolves if prosecuted. So I'm hoping, Jeff, that this judge sees a little bit of this footage from Tucker and gets upset that he wasn't shown the truth or wasn't shown all the video and reconsiders the 4-year sentencing. Otherwise, it may be an uphill battle for Martha and Jake to get around the conviction.
Let me also add to your comments that he thought he was going to get out that day.
He did. That's exactly right. He thought that he was going to make that deal and they were going to release him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now didn't happen. He got 4 years. Nope.
4 years.
Still in jail.
Still in jail. But I think he's out of the gulag now. But, you know, we also had a Jake Chansley interview as well, guys, from prison 2 times.
We did, and we aired his commentary to the FBI as well.
Yeah, yeah. So I think here it is. This is interview 12/31/2021. It's got 2,300 views. That's awesome, guys! Wow. And then interview number 2 a year ago, 10,500. Wow, we actually got a lot there. But guys, you just put Jake Chansley MG show and you can hear him for yourself and you can judge him yourself. We let him speak. We gave him the floor. Very interesting.
Very articulate man. And also a patriot who really, I felt like, has both oars in the water and is on the right side, standing up for what he believes to be right, which is what we all should be doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do we agree with him completely 100%? Maybe not.
No.
But does it matter?
Does it matter? Nope.
No. And then our own people went after this guy. And everybody thinks that he's bad. Everybody thinks he's a Fed. Oh, he had a picture with Nancy Pelosi's son-in-law. Shady, I've been with Jake Chansley. He can't even get 2 steps without somebody asking to take a picture with him. Just saying.
Exactly. That's kind of why he dresses up like that, I think. I mean, really, come on.
And you know, I tried to get
Jeff to wear the Viking horns. He wouldn't do it.
No, I'm not gonna do it. Not gonna do it. Not gonna do it. This right here. This is let's just play. This is Speaker McCarthy.
Arguably the biggest story of the
year. Oops. Hang on, let me just get, we do it live
here so far, and the media, who are all lined up outside this room right now trying to get a question with you, the establishment media are freaking out about this. Your decision to release the January 6th surveillance tapes here from the Capitol to Tucker Carlson, can you tell us why you made that decision? What was the thinking behind it? What do you think it showed?
Well, this is all about transparency, and it won't just be to Tucker. Like any news organization, different people get to exclusives. We watched during the January 6th, CNN would have exclusives all the time, and nobody complained. CNN actually got to be in the statuary hall for a whole hour for their own show. You've watched that January 6th would release only certain tapes. I think it's better for transparency that anyone can make their own decision up. And as we walk through, these are many more hours of tapes than the January 6th committee told us. It's not 14,000, it's 42,000 hours. We want to make sure for security purposes, or certain accents aren't shown in others. But you know the most interesting thing, when I sat down, when I had the team talk to the Capitol Police about making sure they had no problems with the exodus showing, they said January 6th never asked them that. They showed the exit of the vice president. They showed the exit from my office. They literally had then Speaker Pelosi's daughter showing the secure location that they take the leadership. That's not supposed to be known to anybody. And CNN reported it. And I don't remember the press ever getting upset with that. So what we want to do is make sure we have this out that everybody can see it.
Do you intend to release these tapes publicly after you go through and remove anything?
Yeah, we just want to make sure we go through them all. And it takes time. And you know, with Tucker, he just saw a few. It didn't like we released all the tapes to him.
Right.
And the first thing that Tucker said too, he didn't want to show any exits to cause any problems. We asked the Capitol Police, were there any concerns? They came back with one, and we mediated that. But it was interesting, that one that they had a problem with, Eric Swalwell had up on the internet for the last 2 years showing that part.
Breitbart. Use code MG Show.
Right there. For a year and a half, over a year and a half, they told you there was 14,000 hours. We were talking about this just last week. They were telling you over and over again there was 14,000 hours of tape. Then all of a sudden, the Congress switches, the Republicans take control, and it becomes 42,000 hours of footage. And MG Show is ready to start going over all of those tapes, Mr. McCarthy. We're show us where we can get in there.
Yep, I'm ready. I'll fly up there. What do we need to do?
What do we need to do?
What do we need to do?
That's just what Jeff, what do we need to do?
What do we need to do?
It's Friday. Man.
What do we need to do? No, I'm Franz. No, you're Hans? Oh. I don't even know, but we're here to pump you up. That's all I know. Yeah, yeah. It's amazing, guys. Oh, my God. James Comey, he's back up. He hasn't made a post. This is a hat tip, Carly Bonet. Guess who's posted again on Instagram? Here the last 3 days, Mr. Higher Loyalty hasn't posted since December 31, Shady Groove. Look at this guy. Look at him. Ew.
Man, it looks like
look how tall this guy is.
He kind of looks like he's been in the gulag.
This guy's taller.
That's true.
That's weird, man. I just want to remind you, James Comey treason. James Comey treason. Read it all out. Could you read that for me, Shady?
James Comey treason. James Comey treason. James Comey treason. James Comey treason.
James Comey treason.
All right. I wanted to get to another post that I had here. It was actually Dinesh D'Souza. Kind of feeling how we're feeling, Shady Groove, with the heat that Chuck Schumer put on the floor in regards to Tucker and the January 6th. Maybe it was felt by Paul Ryan, chairman of the board for that crap hole. Fox News. I'm trying to find it, but I don't know where it is. I thought it was right here, but anyways, I'm not sure. I probably did. Oh. So go ahead and fill in for me while I look.
All right. Well, let's see. I'm going to fill in and I'm going to make sure that everybody knows that he is Hans and I'm Franz. That's what that's the takeaway from the MG show this week. we're happy to see you. I tell you, that's for sure.
It is. We are happy to see all you guys. Oh, here it is right here. Really, this is it.
I need to find it.
Yeah, so I got it. This is something strange is going on at Fox News regarding the January 6th footage. And I think Dinesh did a pretty good breakdown. I want to give a hat tip to Cued Up for showing me this video. Here we go, Shady. Check it out.
What is going on at Fox News? First day, Monday, you had Tucker Carlson come right out the gate with several really bombshell clips and revelations about January 6th. He showed, for example, that Ray Epps was lying when he said he told the House Select Committee that he was heading back to his hotel, but he couldn't have been doing that because there he is on videotape. So Ray Epps was caught, you may say, with his pants down. We saw a really touching scene with the shaman guy being escorted by two Capitol Police officers through the corridors and then into the Senate chamber. And so here's a guy serving, 41 months in prison for what? Being escorted by two police officers who could easily have told him to leave, pointed him to the door, ushered him out. They didn't do that. And their reason for not doing that, which is that they wanted to tamper down the situation, it makes no sense because not only did you have the two cops and this one, shaman guy, but they go walking by a whole bunch of police officers who don't even really bat an eyelid, don't even look up at him. Everything is fully under control. And yet so here you got this guy and he's not well. I mean, he's mentally unwell and he's serving 41 months in prison. Why? Basically to serve a duplicitous ideological narrative about January 6th. So these are the kind of almost chilling facts brought forward by Tucker on Monday. And then on Tuesday, nothing. A dud. The dog that didn't bark. Suddenly, no more footage, no more clips. And so I'm sure I'm not the only one watching this thinking, 40,000 hours of footage, and you got three little clips, Josh Hawley jogging across the, with others across the corridor, and Ray Epps, and the shaman guy, and we're done? What? Now, Tucker had some other stuff going on. He had the terrific Julie Kelly on. He talked to a former Capitol Police officer, but it almost like the story, you know, petered out. It's kind of like a rocket that sort of lost its fuel. And this makes no sense. Is it because there's no fuel? No. In fact, there is a prominent social media personality who's like, now I think I think Kevin McCarthy should have given the footage to Dinesh D'Souza. Here's one difference between Tucker and me. I don't work for Rupert Murdoch. No one really tells me what to do. That's why I made 2,000 Mules. And if you'll notice, 2,000 Mules went unmentioned. Well, it didn't go unmentioned. Carrie Lake brought it up. One or two other people brought it up, guests on Fox. And you should have looked at the face, the ashen face of the Fox hosts when that happened. Basically, all the major hosts at Fox were under clear orders not to mention 2,000 Mules. And what does that tell you? That they are not ultimately their own person. They ultimately work for Fox. I mean, this is, should not be a big surprise. Who pays their multi-million dollar salaries? It's Fox. And so who tells them what to do? Fox. Now, I agree that because Tucker has good ratings, he has more latitude on Fox than probably any of the other hosts. But let's look at this. You had Tucker on Monday, and it caused a big stir. So you think, here's a guy in charge of a huge story. Fox is a news network, and they should be running with it. But see, I had the same question about 2,000 Mules. Here's a big story. Here's a movie that everyone's talking about, and wouldn't a news network want to run with it? And the answer was no, not in that case. And as it turns out, not in this case either. So something's going on. Well, listen to this. Here's Chuck Schumer on the Senate floor around 10 a.m. on Tuesday. Rupert Murdoch has a special obligation to stop Tucker Carlson from going on tonight, from letting him go on again and again and again, because our democracy depends on it. So here's basically a, you can call it a salvo, a warning, a public call on Rupert Murdoch to shut up Tucker. And I normally would go, this is just partisan, you know, nonsense. Tucker's not going to be fazed by it. He's going to be, you know, out there guns blazing on Tuesday night. And then, no, it's almost as if Schumer's prediction came true. Somebody put the leash down, or somebody put the edict down. It came down from above. And that's it. Now, what would be the motivation of Fox to want to shut up Tucker Carlson on this? Obviously, their motivation to go ahead with the story is they know that's what their audience wants. But on the other hand, it seems like there's some sort of a feud going on between Murdoch and Trump. 2,000 Mules got caught up in the middle of that. They didn't want to talk about election fraud or 2,000 Mules, not because of the Dominion lawsuit, but because it would help Trump. And think about what this January 6th business is doing. It's vindicating Trump. It's showing that this was all an orchestrated lie aimed at making Trump look like he instigated an insurrection. There was no insurrection. Trump didn't instigate it. But I think the reason, if they are shutting up Tucker Carlson, the reason they're doing it is because they don't want to play into the hands of one Donald J. Trump.
Wow, huh? Very interesting.
I think he's over the target there. I mean, I totally think that there was more that was supposed to come out. He, if you go back and you watch Monday's show, you can completely tell that he had more footage that he wanted to talk about, and maybe other stories that were connected to that footage that he moved aside just to do a revamp of the Monday show pretty much all week.
Pretty interesting, right? You know, they're in full blown panic mode, guys. Their narrative is done, guys. And you need to, you know, talk to your friends and family about it first. I mean, you know, who are you going to believe? You going to believe me or some news guy on MSNBC and or CNN? Are you going to believe your friend or family? Or are you going to believe, you know, the talking narrative? I mean, they're seeing the ridiculousness at least somewhere in their narrative, right? Whether it be the economy, whether it be the border, whether it be the Ukraine war, whether it be the FBI hoaxes, whether it be any of it. It's exploding. It's imploding. Their walls are closing in, Shady.
I honestly think that it's happening. It's happening at a rate that's perfect for normie consumption. I know that everybody going back wanted the gallows raised and everybody held accountable and all this different stuff that was in people's minds about how this would go down. But ultimately, at the end of the day, Q said, we're going to do this by the book. It has to be done right. If we don't do it right, they will squirm out of it. They've got every trick known to mankind in their little playbook that utilize if they get caught. So we do have to do this by the book. And to do it by the book requires the American people to understand what's really happening. And that is a long road that we're on right now because people were very, very, very lied to, very brainwashed.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think President Biden is feeling the heat too. Listen to this.
Yeah, I think, don't hold me that number, but it's well over 9 on for anybody who had tough time with their business during the pandemic so they could pay employees, they could do the, but guess what? You may remember, I was running for office at the time, but you all may remember it, that I had a big fight with the former president and maybe future president.
Boom.
Bless me, Father. Anyway, no, I'll
by the way, he just did an upside down cross, if you notice that, Shady. Let's just watch it.
Back that up just a little bit. Yeah.
It's the time, but you all may remember it, that I had a big fight with the former president and maybe future president. Bless me, Father. Anyway, no,
Yeah, so very interesting, right? He's scared, Shady. And he should be.
Scared, absolutely scared stiff. And we saw the same types of reaction yesterday by the Democrats in that hearing, including Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I mean, the way that Debbie Wasserman Schultz went after Matt Taibbi yesterday was just like, wow. I mean, you know, you really would like for your politicians to at least pretend like they love the country or pretend like they want free speech or pretend like they like the Second Amendment. But unfortunately, the ones on the Democrat side of the aisle seem to be forgetting that the American people kind of like those things. Want to keep
Shady,
them.
And this is from October 15th, 2020. Anons were warned years ago of pending China communist style tactic approaching regarding censor and terminate any and all dissenting views. They are not in control of their own platforms. Every asset deployed. You didn't think this was just a conspiracy, did you?
This isn't just a matter of what data was given to these so-called journalists before us now. There are many legitimate questions about where Musk got the financing to buy Twitter.
Ranking Member Plaskett, I'm not a so-called journalist. I've won the National Magazine Award, the IF Stone Award for Independent Journalism, and I've written 10 books, including 4 New York Times bestsellers.
Being a Republican witness today certainly casts a cloud over your objectivity. Before you became Elon Musk's hand-picked journalist, so, and pardon the oxymoron, you stated this on Joe Rogan's podcast about being spoon-fed information, and I quote, I think that's true of any kind of journalism, and you'll see it behind me here. I think that's true of any kind of journalism. Once you start getting handed things, then you've lost. They have you at that point, and you got to get out of that habit. You just can't cross that line. Do you still believe what you told Mr. Rogan? Yes or no? Yes or no?
Yes.
Good. Now, you crossed that line with the Twitter files.
No.
Elon Musk, it's my time. Please do not interrupt me. And the Republicans have brought in 2 of Elon Musk's public scribes to release cherry-picked, out-of-context emails, screenshots designed to promote his chosen narrative, Elon Musk's chosen narrative that is now being parroted by the Republicans because the Republicans think that these witnesses will tell a story that's going to help them out politically. Mr. Chairman, I'm not exaggerating when I say that you have called before you 2 witnesses who pose a direct threat to people who oppose them. Elon Musk spoon-fed you his cherry-picked information, which you must have suspected promotes a slanted viewpoint or at the very least generates another right-wing conspiracy theory. You violated your own standard and you appear to have benefited from it. Before the release of emails in August of last year, you had 661,000 Twitter followers. After the Twitter files, your followers doubled, and now it's 3 times what it was last August. I imagine your Substack readership, which is a subscription, increased significantly because of the work that you did for Elon Musk. Now, I'm not asking you to put a dollar figure on it, but it's quite obvious that you've profited from the Twitter files. You hit the jackpot on that Vegas slot machine to which you referred. That's true, isn't it?
I've also reinvested.
You've made some. No. Is it true that you have profited since you were the recipient of the Twitter files? You've made money. Yes or no?
I think it's probably a wash, honestly.
No, you have made money that you did not have before, correct?
But I've also spent money that I didn't have before. I just hired a whole group of people to
invest. Patently obvious answer, reclaiming my time. Who is the individual that gave you permission to access the emails?
Well, the attribution from my story is sources at Twitter, and that's what I'm going to refer to.
Okay. Did Mr. Musk contact you, Mr. Taibbi?
Again, the attribution from my story is sources at Twitter.
Mr. Schellenberger, did Mr. Musk contact you?
Actually, no. I was brought in by my friend Barry Weiss, and so this story, there's been a lot of misinformation.
So Mr. Weiss brought you in. Mr. Taibbi, Ms. Weiss, thank you. Mr. Taibbi, have you had conversations with Elon Musk?
I have.
Okay. Mr. Taibbi, did Mr. Musk place any conditions on the use of the
email? Would the gentlelady yield for a second?
As long as my time is not used.
Are you trying to get journalists?
No, I'm not trying to get
sources.
No, I'm not.
Well,
I am asking. No, well, if you will let me finish, you had conversations with him. You said you weren't going to agree to who your sources were. I'm not asking you your source. I'm asking you if you had conversations with the owner of Twitter.
When was the first time that Mr. Musk approached you about writing the Twitter files?
Again, Congresswoman, that would
be, I just need a date, sir.
But I can't give it to you, unfortunately, because this is a question of sourcing, and I don't give up. I'm
it's
a journalist. I don't reveal my
sources. It's a question of chronology.
No, that's a question
because
of sourcing.
Because you earlier said that someone had sent you through the Internet some message about whether or not you would be interested in some information.
Yes, and I refer to that person as a source.
So you're not going to tell us when Musk first approached you?
Nope.
Again, Congresswoman, so you're asking me to asking a journalist to reveal
a source. So then you consider Mr. Musk to be the direct source of all this?
No, now you're trying to get me to say that he is the source. I just can't answer your question.
If you're telling me you can't answer because it's your source, well, then that the only logical conclusion is that he is, in fact, your source.
Well, you're free to conclude that.
Well, sir, I just don't understand. You can't have it both ways, but let's move on.
No, he can. He's a journalist.
No, he can't, because either Musk is the source and he can't talk about it, or Musk is not the source. And if Musk is not the source, then he can discuss.
No one has yielded. The gentlelady's out of order. You don't get to speak.
She's out of order because he's interrupted.
The gentlelady's not recognized.
You're not recognized.
He has not said that. What he has said is he's not going to reveal his source. And the fact that Democrats are pressuring him to do so is such a
violation. We're asking him about his conversations with Musk.
The gentlelady has not yielded you time. You don't get
I have not yielded time to anybody. I want to reclaim my time. And I would ask the chairman to give me back some of the time because of the interruption.
Boy, I wonder if they're not Democrats anymore. Wow. And by the way, Shady, I want to make a point. Did you hear Debbie Wasserman Schultz concerned about him making money? Doesn't that sound familiar in this movement, guys?
Yep. I actually pointed that out last night. Exactly right. Boy, you're really, really concerned. And all the one that really got me was the bring me a public scribe. I hear this public scribe. Like, who the hell uses language like that? Like, what are you talking about?
Stupid, man. Everything is stupid.
Remember,
everything you do is stupid.
Let's not forget that Debbie Wasserman Schultz was thrown off or out of the speakership because of her little email back and forth that she got busted with undermining Bernie Sanders in the 2016 primary. And that's the reason that she, you know, so not really listening to the liar over there. And very interesting that not one question from all of them, I sat there and watched it last night, not one question from all of them, not one question about government interference into free speech. Not one question from one Democrat on the left side of the aisle. It was absolutely stunning to see that they didn't even pretend. All about who are your sources? When did you get it? Why are you doing it? An attempt, and you're not credible. Boy, they sure.
And you made money.
Yeah, and you must have got money. Boy, I sure seems like about 5 years of that I've been putting up with.
Oh my God, it's crazy. And Shady, it brings us back. This is another week in the books or in the can or how? What is it? I don't even know.
It's a can.
It's a can. So another week right here on the MD Show. Happy Flannel Friday. Say it out loud. The Real TT 2020 made a video with Carly Bonet singing. And we had this song a couple years ago on our show. And we're going to play it on the outro, guys. God bless you all. Shady Groove, what a great week. Please share this show, guys. I think we bring a lot of great content. Just people just have to watch it to get hooked. Shady Groove.
Yes, sir. Thank you all for the support, the love, the donations mean everything. We are not supported by Lucifizer. We're supported by you. And you guys know what it means to talk about the truth. And that's what we're going to do.
Amen. Forever God on. Bless you all. See you next week.
Let the stars and stripes wave. They wave for liberty. Our nation under God. Our freedoms and integrity. Try to take our lives. We still will fight for freedom. We will champion the world. Our nation fights for the freedoms of every man, woman, boy, and girl. Our nation under God.
We go one, we go all. www.mg.show. Boom.